Are your hearts burning for Jesus? Today's gospel passage is asking us this question. It's the story about one of Jesus' appearances to his followers after he is resurrected from the dead. And it's important here to understand kind of the timeline of events in the New Testament. The New Testament begins with the incarnation, that God has actually entered into human flesh in Jesus. It carries on to Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, and this is the season we're in right now, and the season is going to conclude in just a few weeks with his ascension to the Father, where he rises up to heaven, and then the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And this is actually very, very important to understand this timeline, because Jesus is not going to be physically present all of the time with his disciples for very much longer. And so he's trying to prepare them for what life is going to look like. And I want to suggest to you that this passage today, Jesus is simply telling his disciples the very simple things that they should do after he ascends to the Father. And I want to suggest to you further that this is the easy and simple advice for us. It answers the question, what should we do after we acknowledge the fact that Jesus has risen? How are we supposed to live our daily lives? And the answer is very simple. We listen, we gather, and we run. So first, we listen. Jesus encounters his disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, and they are downtrodden. Why are they so downcast? Well, they had just seen Jesus die on the cross just a few days earlier. And Jesus was the one they had put all of their trust in and all of their hopes. And so their hopes are dashed when they see Jesus die on the cross. And they are so downtrodden that even though they hear this report of the empty tomb and the witness of the angels, they're not ready to believe it. In many ways, their hearts are like a tomb, like a grave. A grave is closed and it is cold and is buried in dirt. Their hearts are closed and cold. And they're so downtrodden that they can't even hear this good news. Have you ever been in a situation like this before? Have you ever been in a place where you seem so downtrodden that it doesn't seem like any kind of cheering up will help? You know, I had an experience like this just a few days ago where, you know, I think the quarantine was starting to get to me and not feeling like there's an end in sight, and I'm starting to despair. And I just say to Allison, I don't want to talk about it, right? Of course, I want to kind of close up. But of course, at some point, in order to kind of get over that despair, there needs to be an opening. I need to be open to talking through it and working through it. In a similar way, the disciples here have closed hearts. Their hearts are like a tomb. But Jesus approaches them, and he gives them an opening. He asks them to open up their hearts and their ears and listen to him. So he proceeds by giving the greatest Old Testament teaching in the world. And of course, we only get about a sentence or two of it. Basically, he unpacks the entire Old Testament. And he basically says how the entire Old Testament has its fulfillment, its culmination in him, in what he has just done in dying on the cross for our sins and resurrecting from the dead and conquering death for us. I want to suggest to you a few things. First is, if we want our hearts to burn for Jesus, if we want open hearts, we need to listen to his words. This makes sense, right? If we want to become close to somebody, we have a conversation with them. And if it's somebody we really love, the more words that we say, the more words we want to say. And that draws us closer and closer. And so as they're hearing Jesus talk more and more, they're wanting to learn and know more and more. And so if we want our hearts to burn for Jesus, it starts by just hearing from him, hearing his words. And of course, that comes principally in reading Scripture. Scripture are his words to us. But I want to suggest it suggests something actually, something else very, very simple. If we're downtrodden, we should just talk to Jesus. You see, you're not alone in your sorrow. Jesus comes alongside of us and walks alongside of us. And at any moment, we can stop what we're doing and have a conversation with him. We just have to make a little opening in our hearts. All the disciples had to do was make that little opening to have that conversation with Jesus. And at a very core level, right, the Christian life is really based in these things. We read God's word in Scripture, and we have conversations with him. In many ways, this is how other relationships work in our life. We have kind of formal means of communication, right? So, you know, when I come through the door at the end of the day, I say, hello, how's your day? I say these very formal expressions to Allison. And so those things kind of give us stability and structure in our life. But then, of course, we have conversations that change over time, that grow and develop. A relationship with God through Jesus is really at its core these things. We do these formal things, we have formal prayers, we read Scripture, but also we just share our hearts with Jesus. We open up to him. So we know that if we do, we will get to know him more and more, and our hearts will burn for more of him. But the passage goes on from there. Not only do we listen to Jesus, we gather together with Jesus. Here's what I think is actually, I think, the most fascinating part of the story. Even though Jesus gives the disciples the best Bible lesson in human history, even then, the disciples don't see that it's Jesus. They don't get that Jesus has been resurrected. You see, the idea behind this is that hearing words is not enough for a relationship, right? We want more out of a relationship, right? We want to see somebody face to face. And for the disciples, they wanted to be with Jesus, to be in his physical presence. And again, this is true of any relationship we have, right? As a child of the 90s, I remember this really cheesy song called More Than Words. Unfortunately, if you were in college in like the late 90s, early 2000s, every a cappella group like sang it at every concert. But it's a song about how like saying I love you is not enough. You've got to close your eyes and reach out your hand and hold me. So this song about saying that love is more than just an exchange of words. As I mentioned as well at Easter, right, we all are experiencing something similar to this right now. We're having this time of quarantine and isolation from one another. And of course, it's great to still have this gift of being able to video chat over Zoom and FaceTime and things like that. But we know that when we have these exchanges, right, these are good. It's good to be with people, but we know it's incomplete. It's not quite the same. A lot of theorists speculate that about 80% of our communication is nonverbal. So 80% comes not in the exchange of words, it comes in the physical presence of somebody else. And what this passage is trying to show us is this connection between gathering together, breaking bread, and seeing Jesus. In order for the disciples to actually see Jesus for who he is, they have to go into a house, they sit down, have a meal, and break bread. And it's here where they realize that Jesus is risen. In a similar way, what he's trying to model for us is what we do each Sunday when we gather together for church. That they call the church the body of Christ, that in some incredible and mysterious way that Christ becomes present when we gather together on Sundays and when we break bread in communion. The idea behind this is that in many ways that special gathering as the body of Christ, we get some of that missing 80% of communication that we miss by just exchanging words. And so what Jesus is trying to model for us is a life not only of talking to him one-on-one, personally, reading scripture, but gathering together and be physically present around the communion table. And of course, this is a very difficult passage to read in light of our current situation. You know, my hope was that this passage would coincide exactly with the Sunday in which we could gather together again and would kind of be the perfect fit. But unfortunately, that's not the case. But I want to encourage you that the more we meet on Sundays, the more we meet for Bible studies, the more we meet informally, my hope is that your hearts would burn more and more to gather together again once more. And for those of us who are joining us from far away, one of the things that we want to help to do when this quarantine is over is find that body of Christ for you, that you can experience the fullness of God. So first, we listen to Jesus, we listen to his words, we gather together around him, and then lastly, we run. After the disciples hear Jesus unpack the scriptures, after they converse with him, after they see him in the breaking of the bread, they run, and they tell everybody that Jesus is risen indeed. And they utter one of the best lines in scripture. Were not our hearts burning in us as he spoke to us? They're on fire for Jesus. And of course, we can kind of understand then their behavior, right? What does fire do, right? Fire spreads, right? The thing that fire does most is it just grows and grows and expands. And you see, their hearts are on fire. So, of course, they don't have to, you know, hear a sermon about sharing their faith with other people or bringing God's glory to the nations or go out. It's a natural result of having a heart on fire, is that they want everything else in the world and every person to experience what they have experienced. And so this is the story of the rest of the Bible. It's the story about these disciples who encountered the risen Christ, who later on we'll see at Pentecost receive the fire of the Holy Spirit. And they, without any prompting, without any need for a class or anything like, they go out throughout all of the world. They heal the sick. They tend to those who are destitute. And they tell other people this good news, that Jesus is alive and that you can know the living God through him. This, in essence, is what we do as Christians. Our weekly rhythms, we read scripture, we talk to Jesus, we gather together, we break bread, but then we go out into the world. And what we do is, in many ways, we take that glory that we experience on Sundays, and we want to bring that light in that fire to every aspect of our life. So we want Jesus to be glorified in our relationships, in our work life, in our leisure time, in our family time. But more than that, we want to tell other people, to gather them in, so that they can experience the glory of Jesus in his church. So I want to close with this. I believe that Jesus is training his disciples here. He's teaching them what their life is supposed to be like when he ascends to the Father. He wants to teach them what their life is going to be like when they receive the Holy Spirit. And we see here, the aspects of it are very, very simple. And this is what I love about the Christian life. On the one hand, it's infinitely complex. There's always more and more to know about God because God is infinite. But at the core of it, the life is very simple. We listen to the words of Jesus and we talk to him. We gather together and then we go out into the world bringing his glory. So I want to challenge you that if you structure your time in this way, that your hearts are going to go from closed and cold tombs to open tombs burning with the desire to know Jesus more and more. So I want to encourage you all, is your heart today a tomb, cold and closed? Open it up today. See the empty tomb. See Jesus in your mind's eye, waiting to speak to you. Speak with Jesus. Gather together here on Sundays in Bible studies, in the household where you're in right now, even if it's online for a while. And trust that if you do, your hearts will burn, and you will run and tell the world the good news that Jesus Christ is risen. Thanks be to God.